Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, this is Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's February 28th, 2017, and guess what, guys? It's New York City Beer Week.
New York City Beer Week!
Good job, people. Some of the more esteemed members of this community are in the room with me tonight. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal, and thank you so much. That's right, it's New York City Beer Week. Big shout-out to our sponsor, Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. So going around the room, everybody introduce themselves. Let's start with our guys from Long Island.
Hi, I'm Patrick Alford, lead brewer at Greenport Harbor Brewing Company.
All right, and you guys made a special collaboration beer with Kelso for Beer Week, so we're going to start off drinking.
Yeah, hey, this is Sean McCain, also from Greenport Harbor Brewery. How you doing, Jimmy?
And this, Sean, it's great to have you. This is kind of like a reunion show. We're in the middle of Beer Week. We don't have to worry about promoting it anymore.
No.
And we're have all good buddies here. And our leader of the pack.
Hardly the leader. Kelly Taylor from Kelso Beer Company and president of the New York City Brewers Guild.
The man.
All right.
Show off.
Totally.
Great to have you back.
Man. Nice credentials there.
Squigs.
All right. Squigs Robertson here from the Happy Hour Guys.
And Mark Aldrich, also here from the Happy Hour Guys, and we've just been joined by
Jason Saylor, owner and brewer of Strong Rope Brewery.
Yes. All right, let's make a toast. So we're going to talk a little bit, you know, it's Beer Week, but one of the big features of Beer Week that we've been promoting for years is the use of New York State malts and hops. And Kelly, first of all, you've really been the proponent for several years pushing the smash beer concept with the New York City Brewers. So tell us a little, the backstory about that, how you guys embraced that as a concept for Beer Week.
Well, we were thinking about different things, basically collaborations. We wanted to do a collaboration for Beer Week, and when we started New York City Beer Week a few years ago, and the question was, how are we going to collaborate? What are we going to do? Where's the beer going to be made? And how is it going to be packaged and the whole thing? And it came up somewhere along the line, and I don't really know how it happened, but somebody said, why don't we all just do the same recipe, but just do it our own way? And then I took it one step further and said, well, why don't we just use New York State ingredients? Because I've been working with June Russell and the Grow NYC and the farmers markets for many years, yep, trying to work with, like Brooklyn Brewery has as well, and trying to use more local ingredients wherever possible, not just malts and hops, but also we use rhubarb and molasses and maple syrup and all kinds of stuff. So we said, oh, that'd be a great project, because then we can get the farmers in and get the farmers down from upstate, and it just kind of, that discussion just kind of grew organically and has evolved over the last, I think this is our third year doing the Smash Beers for Beer Week, and it's great. We used about 8,000 pounds of barley and about 400 pounds of hops, I think.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. So,
and then so this year, so Jason, jumping at Jason, so this year, what, you were tasked to source the ingredients. Tell us that process.
Last year we had kind of done it where there was it was state malt and state hops for the smash beer. And this year kind of pushed it to be a true smash beer in that it's a single malt, single hop, and state malt, state hop.
So it's a smash smash.
It's a smash smash. Yeah.
Chorus boys, come on. Yeah. The happy hour guys are kind of the chorus boys.
Yeah. When we were talking about it, I use 100% New York hops and about 95% New York malts in all of our beers at Strong Rope. So they asked kind of who I would like to use or who I've been using. I kind of started looking around and seeing, one, what hops I liked, what malts I liked, but also who had the capacity and capability to kind of provide us with the amounts that we needed. Because while, there's a lot of growers that I do like, they're still, half an acre, they're still really small. So not only do you need, you know, the ability to have great hops, but you also need the ability to have enough for all the brewers in kind of around New York City and New York City to take part.
And that's going to be the theme of our show. Right now, everybody's getting refills. Doesn't usually happen, of the Kelso Greenport Harbor collaboration.
Well, it's a smash. I only had one smash so far.
But Sean, you know, what's the actual name of this beer?
Something Ugly This Smash Comes. And there, you'd think there'd be a better story, but the story goes...
That's a stretch.
I was going to pick up something from Gun Hill, where Kelly was guest brewing for those guys, helping them out, and we were going, we have to figure out a name for this beer. What should we call it? And I think he said, well, how about Something Ugly This Smash Comes? It's not going to get any uglier than you and me, Sean. And I said, okay, that's it. There we go.
Someone gave you a little rim shot.
So then to make that, so Kelly, you went out to what? The Greenport Harbor, the original brewery in Greenport.
Yep, right,
went out with there. Pat. So why don't you guys talk about that experience of collaborating on making a beer and ordering the ingredients and everything.
Oh, so yeah, I was in contact with Kelly for a couple weeks leading up to him coming out to Greenport, just kind of in regards to what we were going to do with this recipe and just discussing the ingredients. And when it came to my attention that we were just working with the New York State Pale Malt and Cascades, we kind of just came to the agreement on doing a IPL. So kind of something we've been kind of doing in Greenport recently, just trying to do some hoppier beers with the lager yeast. So, Kelly came out to the North Fork. We mashed it in. And about a few weeks later, this beer came out. And it's pretty tasty.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
I haven't had it in a little while. And I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's weird to kind of have like this kind of New York State, like all grown beer, because I've never really had anything like this before. And there's a lot of differences. I find the grain to be a little bit like more toastier, breadier. It's heartier than most typical pale malts, and the Cascades I find to be a little bit more floral. But overall, just like a really good drinking beer, I will say.
You know, each year for me, some of my favorite beers are the smash beers that the New York brewers make for Beer Week. Jason, what are the tell us again the process of picking these two, the malt and the hops. Like which ones are they?
So we're using a New York craft malt, pale two row malt, and Willet hop, their Cascade. And you know, it was kind of when I was thinking about it, I was just kind of like, okay, let's go back to kind of, I'm a home brewer, so I come from a home brewing roots, and I was just like, let's go back to the simplest thing, you know, a base pale malt and a Cascade hops, like the most classic, you know, one of the most classic hops in the U.S. So I kind of just wanted to bring it back to that and kind of see what everyone would bring to the table and would do, and how everyone's beers would come out. You know, it's kind of, you know, that was my thought when I was thinking about it. I'm like, let's just, you know, let's see what each brewery and each brewer can actually do. And if we give them the simplest things, I mean, we allowed them different yeasts, we allowed them to barrel age it, do some other things. In terms of the hops and the malts or things going into the beer, those were the two things. There were no adjuncts.
So Kelso and Greenport Harbor made like an IPL. What are some other styles that were made? What did you make?
I made a strong ale, so we just loaded it up both with the hops and the malts. You know, it wasn't quite as big as a barley wine or a double IPA, but it was a nice deep malt character with a good, like you were saying, very kind of floral, somewhat citrusy hop character.
Okay, so that sounds absolutely delicious. Can you bust it out? I mean, come on. This is a drinking show here, Jason.
You know, two things. This room is full. There's equal number of actors as brewers.
I know. Sean tries to do the radio voice. There you go.
Here's a question that I've had regarding the whole New York, the agricultural scene. Back in the day, New York used to be like home base for hops.
Yeah.
It was like, and after, you know, of course, Prohibition hit, and a lot of hop farms, like, you know, took out their hop, you know, crops and then planted something else. And, you know, now, of course, the center, I mean, it seems to be Washington State. But how do you all feel that that New York is coming back in the agricultural aspect of growing hops and malts and that sort of thing?
It's coming back quite a bit, you know. In the since the farm brewery license legislation was enacted in about 2012, I think it's grown from about, I think they said it was, you know, like 25, 30 acres back then, that was kind of situated throughout the state, to I believe it's now closer to like 300 to 400 acres in those years. And I know farms that are putting in another 17 acres, you know, 3 acres here, 10 acres. There are some farms that are starting out by just putting in straight up 50 acres, and like that's their test batch. You know, so there's a lot of these, there's a lot of things happening. There's still a lot of knowledge to be learned and gained in New York, because a lot of that was lost, and they can't utilize Washington or Oregon as models because it's just a completely different climate. It's a completely different way of growing things. So they're actually looking at Michigan because they've had a pretty good hop growing scene for a little while. And some of those hops, like Michigan Copper and Mackinac and some of these other ones, are actually starting to be planted here and are showcasing really well. The Michigan Copper is actually one in a beer that I do have here. I don't have the strong ale.
Yes.
I knew there was a lot of drinking.
We're going to taste that next. And then, Pat, so we knew previously you worked at Barrier Brewing.
Yes,
so what's your take on the state of New York, you know, malt hops?
I love it. Personally, you know, now we're at, now, you know, now being at Greenport, we're getting a lot of locally grown produce out there, specifically malt and hops. There's quite a few hop farms out there, and it's just great to see in every aspect, but more specifically hops. I mean, I know New York State region was a pretty great big region, you know, pre-prohibition, and you know, hops are the kind of thing where it's all about genetics and you know, like Jason was saying, you know, it's something that just takes time. So it's gonna, you know, if we're gonna start doing it again, I mean, it's now, you know, we got to start now, and it's kind of weed out, like, you know, the strains that we don't want, and you know, cultivate the ones that we do, and it's already kind of showing.
It's encouraging that the government's behind, you know, developing this means of agriculture.
For sure,
it's true. And what I want to say is, we're all going to talk more about the different beers that you guys brought, but Kelly, you remember like 4 years ago?
No.
Well, when we first were doing the smash beers, it was at the time, what you guys had to source through, the only malt facility was Valley Malt in Massachusetts.
That's right, yeah.
And I remember the work you guys had to put into, different farmers were sending their malt to Valley Malt, yeah. And there was choices of, it was a lot of work just to come up with a smash beer. I'm sure it still is.
Well, you know, the challenging thing, as Jason kind of pointed out earlier on, is you've got to figure out, one of the challenging components is we have more and more breweries in the New York City Brewers Guild every year. And so we want to do this project, and every year we have more and more breweries doing this project, and they all have different capacities. Some of them have 30 barrel batches and they need a ton of grain. Some of them have 15 and they need a half ton. Some of them have a couple barrels and they need, you know, 100 pounds or something. So there's a lot of different needs, and the trick is to kind of manage, okay, how much grain are we going to get? Who are you going to be able to get a consistent quality of grain from? And are these people going to do full batches? Are they going to do half batches? Are they going to do pilot system? Because some people just did pilot batches of it. So you got to kind of send out a survey, see who wants to do it, about how much grain they would need, generally speaking, and then find a farmer that can kind of sort of sort that kind of thing through. And then you wind up, the farmer think that's a firm order, and then the brewers think that they actually ordered the grain, when we're like, no, we're just surveying. You know, so it becomes a little tricky. It was easier when it was just Andrea. You know, it becomes a little bit tricky
really
now because we have...
She's smart. She's a woman.
Yeah. Come on. She's really has tremendous grain and tremendous malt. But it just becomes more and more complicated the more pieces you throw into the whole thing. So.
And then quick survey. Name a few of the New York City breweries that made smash beers this year.
Well, of course, Kelso, in collaboration with Greenport Harbor.
Yeah,
which is not a New York City brewery, but we under, you know, that's those, you know, it's good.
Long
Island, and Strong Rope, of course, and Big Alice did some. I think Coney Island, Rockaway, Big Alice.
Squigs, did you have any of the Smash beers yet?
I've not yet. I'm
talking to the mics.
No, 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 I've not had
actors in the room.
No, please. Please. No,
happy hour, guys.
I'm getting kind of a like a late start on beer week because I just got back from a vacation with my family, so I literally got off the plane. Boo.
Where were you, Squirts?
I was in Maui. So, sorry.
But, give me the microphone.
Maui beer week.
But no, give your beer back.
But no,
now.
Seriously, this, you know, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to jump like right in the middle of beer week. It's so exciting. I'm looking forward to so many events, including Brewer's Choice tomorrow night and Rupert's Cup on Saturday. So yeah,
no, and the beer week's really filled out. You know, it's Kelly. What are you, like third year president, fourth year president of the New York City Brewers Guild?
I don't remember.
It's really filled in, and you get more brewers, and I really, big toast to you you guys, because everyone in the room.
Is it this year he gets a statue?
And the last thing, yeah, that's, but what is this thing, Kelly? You've brought a unique beer pouring device.
He's like a, you know, like the guy from Chitty
Which
Chitty
is
Bang
more
Bang
interesting.
Like
it's not
device.
A growler. What is this device?
It's a unique beer
Before
pouring
we take
device.
A
I don't know what it is. It's like a keg.
It looks like a coffee urn.
It's a 1 gallon stainless steel unit with a faucet and CO2 cartridge in there.
Well, whatever it is, we can't stop drinking. And a big shout out, Pat's mom, Linda's here.
Hey, Linda.
And so, you know,
shout out to mom.
We're happy that she's here.
It's a family affair.
Hey, guess what? We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, guys, what week is this? It's
New York City Beer Week.
Woo!
Oh, there's a lot of people applauding.
You know, it's because we have actors in the room. You know, we got Sean McCain. The next show will be actors who are in the beer world. Sean McCain, and then
there's a logical right here.
The hook for us has been why do we love Beer Week? It's the way that New York City has embraced, you know, New York State malts and hops and smash beers and things. But you know, Jason Saylor now with Strong Rope, you're one of the leading, you know, New York State farm brew licensed brewers, and I feel like you know more about it than anybody. First question is, one of my favorite beers you make is the Erie to Hudson.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, because you're pretty much using as much New York State malt and hops as you can in every batch, right?
Yeah. We were 100% New York hops and about 95% New York malts. What you're drinking right now is a single malt, single hop, session IPA, pale ale. Ish type beer with a pale Vienna from New York craft malt and Michigan copper hops from Crooked Creek hops up in outside of Corning, New York.
What's the name of this beer?
This is Falling Squirrel. This is our smash series. So we change it up every time with new malts and new hops or new combinations, and we do it pretty regularly. Part of it was for us to play around with the New York ingredients and learn them, because, you know, when we were jumping in from a home brewer to a commercial brewery, it was playing with the ingredients that we hadn't played with before. So this has allowed us to kind of, you know, see what efficiencies were like, what flavors were there, were what kind of utilization we're getting out of that, like all the kind of. So it's like it's just a you know, experimental beer that we constantly play around with and find out what good, you know, characters are we having.
And it's called Falling Squirrel?
Yeah, Falling Squirrel. It's our smash beer.
So why is it Falling Squirrel? Come on.
Because it smashes.
I mean,
Jason, I know.
Chasing the elusive nuts.
He sends me a sales sheet every week, and it's hard to keep up with the names. But I'm going to take a step back. Erie to Hudson.
Erie to Hudson.
That really stood out for me, and that's before Beer Week.
Yeah, so Erie to Hudson is our ESB you know, we try to do a lot of, you know, somewhat classic styles, a lot of malt forward beers, things that, you know, that are just kind of classic and good, you know, just overall tasty. We don't necessarily, you know, a lot of times we're not trying to push the boundaries in terms of the amount of hops that we can throw in a kettle. We want something that's just really just, you know, easy and drink easy drinking and just, you know, really great flavor overall. So that particular one is just kind of our ESP is just going, you know, that classic beer. We use New York craft malt, pale malt. I'm trying to remember the.
But Erie to Hudson, right, so yeah, well, that like echoes to what, the Erie Canal.
So Erie to Hudson. I'm originally from Rochester, New York, and now I live here. So you know, you got here from going down the Erie Canal to the Hudson River down to here. So that was my, you know, kind of a way of giving homage back to my hometown, where I'm from, and then the.
So New York history. So it says your homage to your hometown. What was Rochester at one time called?
Rochester at one time was called the Young Lion of the West. During the Erie Canal days, before this was kind of right before railroads, so it wasn't that long. It was called Young Lion of the West as it was one of the biggest boom towns, you know, heading out west because there
like
were no
Kodak. Camera was there.
I mean, at that point, there was probably, I don't know if Kodak or any of those, you know, industries were there yet, but it was starting to be kind of the boom town. And it was just, you had the Genesee River, which is Genesee Cream Ale, which is why I call my cream ale Young Lion of the West, as a then homage to my hometown, blah, blah, blah. and so. That was you know, I tried to.
Well, that's the point of the party. So there's something happening now with craft breweries where they're making their version of like a heritage beer. So you made a version of Genesee.
Yeah,
I know a brewery in Chicago, you know, made a version of something. Are there other examples of that? I remember when you guys helped me out. Stillwater made a. Some kind of a Pabst version or something.
Classic. Yeah, I mean, well, that was his. Yeah, it was Brian's take on making a corn, an adjunct corn beer that's a low ABV, that's crushable, but for the new
era. And
what
do you guys like, Pat? Like, as a brewer, like, I mean, with craft, everyone's so focused on IPAs, but now you're doing, people want craft lagers. You know, do you feel like you can just, you know, give homage to a heritage beer?
I've been doing craft lagers for 10 years. Thank you.
This is true.
Oh, that he remembers.
Yeah, and some,
selective memory. Selective
some people
memory.
Say that Brooklyn Brewery's original lager was modeled after Rheingold. Because it's like, they say Brooklyn Lager was modeled after Rheingold, which was really? Kind of like an amber.
Interesting. Who says that?
Yeah.
Jimmy, do you guys Jimmy read does. Books?
I don't remember.
I can't read.
Yes.
What was Bell's like? They had like some sort of a like a local beer. They call it like, I think it was like something local. It was like that was they to entice people in that had were drinking the local beers and then they could, you know, sample them out.
Jason, I'm not ragging on you, but it's more that it's come up often. Like, oh, there's these heritage kind of, you know, beers from a certain region that people grew up with, and you mentioned, you know, Line of the West and Genesee, but no, does anyone great. Else? Do you have one in mind, Pat?
I mean,
because he's our new young brewer, so we're trying.
I mean, for sure. I mean,
new talent.
I mean, not anything specific that I can think of offhand, but I mean, as far as just being a brewer, yeah, I draw a lot of my inspiration from a lot of the classic beers. I mean, we brew a lot. We use a lot of the lager yeast, you know, in Greenport. So, yeah, I mean, anywhere from like a pilsner to an IPL, yeah, we're you know, I'm drawing inspiration from. You know, different beers, like, so we just did an IPA with a bunch of rice in it, you know, like, that's not very typical, you know, but sort of like a cream ale base, you know, like, so, like, you know, Jason said, Genesee, you know.
So, but as we go back to, you know, American brewing history, so, you know, those old lagers and things were made with better ingredients, and it's, there's some connection. Who wants to jump in on that, Pat? Keep going.
Well, somebody. I don't know if I can continue on that one, but I have questions about the Farm Brewers Bill. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's, we're celebrating the local agriculture. Now, with Strong Rope, you're under the Farm Brewers Bill. What are your restraints as far as or not restraints, but what are your guidelines as far as what New York agriculture you have to use in your brewing?
Yeah, right now it's 20% malt and 20% hops. from now until, I believe, the beginning of 2019, then it jumps to 60%.
Wow.
And then it's 60% up until 2020-something, and then it jumps to 90%.
And that's to encourage like farmers to come up with the
right
product.
So the whole idea was that, you know, it was all the malt and hops were here prior to Prohibition, prior to blights, prior to a lot of cheap land out west, better growing conditions. It's a way to encourage, just kind of like the farm winery was a way to encourage the growth of the grapes and wineries in the state. This is to encourage the brewing agriculture in the state as well, and it's working. I mean, they're, you know, from zero malt houses in New York to now close to, I think there's like 7 online, and there's going to be like 2 more coming online soon, and
which is just amazing if you think.
Absolutely.
And there's we've all been asking for it, and if we're getting it.
No, that's great. And what other breweries in New York are on the Farm Brewers Bill that are doing what you're doing?
There's a bunch that actually have the Farm Brewers license, not necessarily solely a farm brewery, but Big Alice has, I think, the license, I believe.
Greenport,
sorry. Yeah,
we've got the two breweries. Our original brewery, the Greenport, in the town of Greenport, where Pat does all his magic, is a farm brewery.
Wow.
Now, what type of, how much are you playing? Are you guys doing a bunch of 100%, or are you sticking with a 20%, or?
So right now, I mean, it's at 20%, but I mean, we just recently got a couple pallets of some Norfolk grown grain, some pale malt, and some wheat. So the plan moving forward really is to kind of do 100% Norfolk-grown wild ales, just kind of utilizing local barrels, local microflora, local grain, local hops, as well as local fruit and vegetables, whatever, going forward. Kind of just want to embrace the area and that region.
Craft beer makes good neighbors, and you know, especially if the neighbors are growing stuff for you. You know.
And who malted that for you guys? Do you know?
We had to send it up to, I think, Valley Malt.
Valley Malt to malt it
just because...
Right, there's no one out there.
And for us actually to put it on a boat to go up to Massachusetts is pretty easy. Whereas, you know, sending it to Western New York is really difficult.
Long Island, you're closer to Massachusetts than you are to, like, Rochester.
Oh, yeah. It'd be easy, especially as the crow flies.
Yeah.
And I like just saying, as the crow flies.
It's like getting a lot of pleasure out of that.
You're old-timey.
Well, also, I just wanted to kind of feed in on what Pat said about using local ingredients. The next beer that we're going to open up is our Cuvée San, which we do every year. We do a collaboration with a local vineyard. So we'll use their grapes. I'm going to let him explain the actual process, because I'll make it sound good with my dulcet tones. But I'm really just a dolt, and I'm not sure how we do it. And I did this year. Well, take it away, Pat. Tell us a little bit about this beer while I crack it open. But hold on. For Kelly's sake.
There, please.
Oh, popping it. He's trying to pop it. Woo! Mark, you got any sound effects over there?
There you go.
They got it in the booth.
Oh, yeah, there we go. You can't hear it, but it just exploded in my ear.
I got the quietest happy hour guys I've ever had before.
I'm trying.
You're doing
Come
a good
on.
Job. So, Mark, just cut back. So, remember, like last year, we had the great experience.
Yep.
You guys got behind the Broadway Brews.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you guys put together the cast of Hamilton with. Gonhill. That was a really important part of New York City brewing.
That was one of the hugest things.
It's definitely ongoing. And we have a can as we get down the line, I'll let Mark talk about it, but we have a can of our latest.
Yep. We've put out the second in the Broadway Brews project. And what that does briefly is it takes a local brewery and pairs up with a hit Broadway show. And the cast goes out to the brewery. They discuss what kind of beer they want to make. They produce the beer. And proceeds go to a charity of the actors.
And we're going to save that for the third segment.
All right.
Guess what? You guys have to, right now, check us out. At beer. Hillary's doing live Instagram. So at beer _ sessions on Instagram. Who do you think the next Broadway Brews collaboration is? Which brewery is involved? That's for the next segment.
Okay.
All right. So, Pat, tell us about your North Fork, Long Island, huge agricultural region, wineries, old potato farms. You're in, like, to me, that's a mecca of New York. I love that part.
Absolutely.
So tell us about this beer. And Sean, too, use your voice, man.
Yeah, for sure. Cuvée San is a beer that Greenport does every year. From what I understand, they change the grape every year, and it kind of alternates between white and red.
So, you know,
those are not alternate facts.
This year was a white. So, the base beer is basically kind of a French Saison, maybe more in the line of a Grisette because there's a lot of spelt.
Oh, yeah. It tastes like that, right?
And then hopped very lightly with a little bit of Palotau Blanc. And then during fermentation, we pushed in some freshly pressed Chardonnay juice that was pressed from Matabella Vineyards, not even half a mile up the road from the brewery. So, we woke up one morning, met the guys down at the winery, and they were just pressing juice, and we basically just siphoned a bunch of amazingly sweet Chardonnay juice into a keg and pushed that into the fermenter.
Is that the trend now? It seems to be like what mixed fermentation. Is that what you would call that?
Not so much. I mean, there's no wild yeast in this beer, but I mean, there's plans for next year's batch, absolutely, to be more of like a Brett farmhouse Saison style. But but I hear what you're saying. I mean, there are seems to be. I mean, I know like Trillium's doing a bunch of beers with like grape juice. I know Other Half did one with grape juice. So yeah, it seems to be a trend to kind of just intertwining like wine and wine techniques into beer making.
Is mixed fermentation a term that's in use?
Absolutely. What you're referring to is really more so on a microbiological scale, just more so brewer's yeast as well as maybe bacteria and wild yeast. So yeah, you're talking about a mixed fermentation.
And then what's your background? Because I knew you worked at Barrier Brewing. Was your background in science? What were you?
I know, right? I mean, I'm just a home brewer, man. Just a nerdy home brewer that started real hungry and, just kind of doesn't sleep until...
Nerds rule the world.
Mark, I need your voice, man.
Hi, Jimmy.
You can echo echo what
I'm
your
just impressed that microbiological was just used in a sentence.
There's a lot of talented people in this room. And cheers to our new brewer friend, Pat, here. Cheers. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Yes.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, it's, what is it, New York City?
Beer Week. So,
with this crew in the room on Beer Sessions Radio, it echoes back about 4 years ago. We talked about a little bit that, you know, the first smash beers and trying to get more brewers to use New York State, you know, grains, everybody was going through Valley Malt in Massachusetts. But now this, you know, now you have other malt facilities. So I want to address that. But also, Jason, you're really like using your brewery as a, you know, a place for panels. So you have some things going on this week for Beer Week.
Yeah, on Thursday we're actually having a little hop panel. Excuse me, with John Kinsella from Kinsella Hops out by you guys at Greenwood.
Yeah.
And Chris Holden at Crooked Creek. They're going to both be coming in, and we're just going to kind of be talking about the state of New York hops and, you know, hop growing in general within the, you know. You know, our beers will have some of their.
Do you know what I like? What you just said, like people would say, oh, you know, I went to Other Half, or I went to, you know, in the old days you say I went to Hill Farmstead. It's a catchphrase, everybody knows it. When you said Kinsella Farms, it's Kinsella Farms. Some of us said yeah, but what was the second one you said? Crooked what?
Crooked Creek.
Crooked Creek. But you say it like to you, it's like it's hip. You know what you're talking about. But yeah. We don't know about this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Crooked Creek. They're up. Chris Holden is making some of the, you know, I'm getting some of the best hops out of the state so far with his stuff. It's been great this year. And they're up outside of Corning in, no, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's Alden, New York. But yeah, it's kind of outside Corning.
Okay, New York history. So who knows that great movie, It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, yeah.
Why I know that, Jimmy.
What town was it actually set in? Bedford Falls was the movie.
Right.
What was the town it was actually set in?
Pottersville. I know this one.
Not Pottersville.
Oh. Wow. Bedford.
No one knows. Bedford Falls was in the movie.
Bedford Falls.
No, guys.
Watkins Glen.
Seneca Falls.
Yes, Seneca Falls. I was just there.
And
last
they
fall.
Have an annual
Seneca Falls.
It's a Wonderful Life party in the fall.
They jump
and
off a bridge.
Zuzu, you know the actress who played Zuzu, little girl, still comes every year to the festival. So.
Really?
Yeah. We're trying to get. She's we're talking. You know, talking about
New York,
Western New York, and farm regions and stuff. So that's a little bit of history. If you think about Bedford Falls, Seneca Falls, this is the place you're talking about, right? Yeah. Right, Jason?
I know Jimmy's
I think
digging.
They make
Jimmy's digging
where there.
Well, Seneca Falls, I believe, is at the north end of one of the lakes. Corning is on the south end. So you got to. This is the Finger Lakes we're talking about. So Seneca Falls at
the Finger Lakes.
Seneca Lake, yeah.
Yes.
And Corning is down in the southern tier.
Around the middle finger.
Yeah. But yeah, all around there.
And so that's what I'm trying to get. So, so you're saying up there you have grain farmers and malt facilities.
Oh, yeah, that's where all the. I mean, you know, the majority of the farms. I mean, there's a ton out on the North Fork, but like the Western New York, Central New York, Hudson Valley. I mean, this, you know, it's just. It's all farmland. Like you just go up there, and it's amazing if you actually get a chance. And you know, I used to when I go back to Rochester, I would drive on the throughways and stuff, and you just kind of fly past everything, not noticing noticing these towns. But then on one last time, as I was visiting some breweries and some hop farms, just some of the suppliers that we're working with, you take these back roads and you would drive past all these farms and these farm stands and these little towns, and just some amazing scenery, great character, and just. Some great beers up around there and stuff, so it's cool.
So all right,
get out there.
Beautiful.
Can I just say one quick thing about the farms of the grain farmers and the hop farmers in New York State? I want to give a shout out to the New York State Brewers Association, which is an association of the brewers.
Woo!
Hey, shout out. Because many years ago we went.
Thank you, David.
It's a nonprofit of all of the brewers in the state of New York and. And it kind of corrals the brewers for a combined shared purpose. And a number of years ago, we went up to Albany for the open house. Albany has open houses. And we got about 50 members up into Albany pounding the corridors, talking to different senators and assembly members about taxes and all kind of mundane stuff. But one of the things we were talking about, we talked to the agriculture department about we will buy malt. We will buy grain. We will buy hops in bulk if you resuscitate farmland. Because there's acres and acres, hundreds of acres of farmland in New York State that is doing nothing because you can't grow commodity on it profitably. But you can grow. We're not commodity. We are specialty. Hops are specialty. Malted barley for brewers is specialty. So if you can grow that stuff, the farmers can revitalize that farmland and start doing it again. So the New York State Brewers Association was pounding at Albany, trying to get them to get their constituents to start farming again, and then getting some subsidies for them to buy the equipment, because the equipment is cost prohibitive, to buy the equipment to malt the grain and buy the equipment to harvest the hops. And so that actually happened, and a large part of that was because of the Brewers Group of New York State. And that's a national model. That's a very rare thing to happen in this country, is to actually resuscitate farming. You know, a lot of times it's getting pushed out, and a lot of that is because of the state of New York and the Brewers Association. I just wanted to say that it's an important component of this whole
that
thing.
Was really well said too. I mean, constituents was used.
You can remember that later.
Yes. Very, very strong.
I got the chorus in the room.
And just talk about. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's like over the past 10 years, just the growth of the amount of breweries that are in New York City, it's amazing. It's like I came to visit New York City for the first time about 10 years ago, and I was in California. I came out here excited about to see what New York City had to offer as far as craft brewing, and I happened upon a Stone Brewing festival at Rattle and Hum, and they were celebrating Southern California brewing, and I was like, I looked around, I'm like, oh yeah, there are places to find craft beer, but it's like and definitely they're not making it as much around here, it was like New York was kind of trailing certain parts of the country like Northern California, yeah. Oregon, Washington.
And I would say one thing I know is that there's some new breweries that are being built that aren't really buying into buying New York ingredients because they think they have more of a commercial model. But with Jason, back to you, is it true that every batch you make is a different beer, isn't it?
Pretty close. We're
and you have more beer. Let's pour it out.
Yeah. So we got Pork Chop Express, which is our
Pork Chop ale. Express.
Yeah, little, you know, classic.
The Pork Chop Express.
Yeah, you know,
an applesauce.
Little Jack Burton homage. Yeah. A lot of homages today, I guess. I'm sorry. This is,
homage. I'm going to do an homage to an homage.
That's it. Yeah.
So just
homage to brewage.
Super kind of light blonde, nice kind of easy drinking beer.
This is a loose show. It's friends from, you know, many of us know each other a long time, celebrating New York City Beer Week. And keep going, Jason.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway,
distract you.
Yeah, we've been open 14 months. We've done 133 batches so far, 134 today, actually.
Wow. What's the size of your brew house?
2-barrel. I mean, so that's one reason that we can do this, that we can be so progressive in terms of the amounts that we use. Because we, you know, being so small, we can... You know, we can force that issue of 100% New York hops and, 90-95% New York malts. You know, if we were much bigger, the capacity is not there. So, but we have done quite a few new batches or quite a few unique batches. I think of the 134 that we've done about 100 and maybe like 105 or so are unique. But we're continuing to play with the hops, the malts, and you know, try to be a test bed for these farmers and these malt houses. Try to allow, you know, give them as much feedback as we can. Show what we're doing and seeing that, you know, you can, you know, make great beer with their ingredients. With these
What's this beer, Jason?
So this is Pork Chop Express.
Pork Chop Express.
Yeah,
I love the name. It's nice.
This is we're going for a kind of a super clean.
Do I
light,
love the name? I don't know.
Light, easy drinking.
Oh, you love the name. You know it.
Light.
Yeah. Yeah. You big old pork chop.
What is
you.
It? It's good.
Yeah. So it's a kind of super clean, easy light drinking American blonde. As I said, it was it's like Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China. He's just that all American guy.
And it's all in the reflexes.
It's all in the reflexes. Yeah. And so this is nice. You know, we use a bit of a 6-row.
That's why we have the actors on tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I was thinking about I said constraints earlier as far as the Farm Brewers Bill and as far as the agriculture that's available in New York State. And I don't mean to say constraints because when you talk about an art form, like, let's say Shakespeare's sonnets, a sonnet is a very strict, strict form of poetry. And some people can look at it and say, well, that's very strict and that's, you know, they have these certain amount of lines and a certain amount of rhyme and that sort of thing. But like people who really excel at that, look at that and say, there's all the freedom in the world in the sonnet, in the information that I have to put out here.
Yeah.
This, you have all the freedom in the world. And so it's exciting to see what people are creating.
I like when the New York breweries get challenged by having to make beers with New York ingredients. I think that they're the best beers that every brewer makes.
Yeah. And when we came up with that idea, this year when Jason came up with the idea, I said, well, we're just going to do one malt and one hop. So I said, do you think the brewers are going to want to do that? He goes, yeah, sure. And we reached out to them, and they embraced it. You know, they embraced the challenge because they all saw that, oh, yeah, let's throw down because now we got to make this thing sing. Exactly. So I think
Pat
they really
said it
challenged
exactly like that. He went, what? Yeah, sure.
All right. Happy hour. So, Mark,
sure.
So I know you traveled. You were the original Broadway cast in Newsies.
Correct.
Great. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
He's what they call an old Z.
One more chance to see it in the movie theaters.
But then you were on a tour also. You did the touring.
Correct. Yep.
So when you were around the country, What were other people's takes about New York beer? Did that come up?
Well, you know, it's interesting because New York lagged behind, you know, for a long time. Kelly, we were talking about this just the other day when you were starting out, when we were starting out doing what we do. It was not a wasteland, but there were very few people, very few players, you know. And I think more than anything, what I noticed was that New York is finally getting some respect around
Absolutely.
The country
yeah.
in terms of not just how many people are brewing beer, but what kind of beers they're making, and that it's going like the East Coast is now pushing west, whereas a few years ago everything was coming in the opposite direction. So it was exciting to hear that our hometown was getting some props around the country.
And then for the next Absolutely. Broadway Brew, so last year you guys yep. paired Hamilton Cass with Gun Hill.
Hamilton with Gun Hill, and we did a Rye, which is a rye saison. Uh-huh. And then the second one.
The second one was actually with Carton Brewing, and we paired them up with School of Rock. And produced. I have a can of it here.
It's out of production. As you know, Augie Carton saw Hamilton like 10 times.
Yes.
He's a huge Broadway fan, so this guy was dying to be the next. This is an amazing series. And which charity is this going to?
This one went to you guys pour that because there's not much of it. But that one for Sing for Hope, which is a charitable organization that raises money for arts education in schools that would be underserved in that category. So they also put pianos around the city every year that are painted by artists, and so that anybody who walks by them can stop and play. And then when it's done, those, which I didn't know until we worked with them, those pianos actually then are donated to schools that need the instruments.
Yeah, and then the beer that we made it's a big old juicy black IPA. Augie decided he wanted to bring to mind a night at Stone Pony with enough malt to bring to mind leather, enough alcohol to bring to mind hairspray, enough
strawberry lip gloss.
Strawberry lip gloss and the hops profile.
I think Augie's stuck in the 80s.
Augie's stuck somewhere. But yeah, I actually think.
We love you, Augie.
We do. We love you, Augie. But I think he actually was really successful. It's really a nice, big, bold. And one of the cool things about him is because the School of Rock show has a lot of kids in it, he also he made a School of Pop soda. It was like a strawberry seltzer.
That guy.
Yeah.
So it was like, awesome. So that, what we didn't know when we asked Augie to do this and came out afterwards was that he actually in a prior life worked in the film industry, and he was one of the ADs on one of the last scenes in the School of Rock movie, which we didn't know.
Isn't that crazy?
After we'd asked him to
and
do
also
this.
Also as they're having the meeting about the name of the beer, people are like, how about School of Hops? And he's like, well, someone owns the copyright to that name. And it's me. He did.
Yeah, he did.
He did. And so he made this really great beer. But and then you know.
So what did he call it?
A School.
Just kidding.
But no. And then the Broadway Brews Project is continuing.
Yep.
We can't say all the information.
We're aiming for a 6-pack, so we're 2 beers in, and I think I can say that the third beer is going to be with 6 Point. And we're very close to nailing down which show it's going to be, but we can't say just yet.
We can't say yet.
If for some reason that falls through, I know that there's at least one brewery right here, Greenport Harbor.
Oh, you know, you're going to be getting a call.
We're here for all of you.
Excellent.
All
right. Thank you. You're in the 6-pack. Right.
The betting starts. Well, Kelly, on that note, it's amazing what's happened in New York City beer. Even in the last 4 or 5 years, just 4 or 5 years ago, we're talking about how do we actually get New York ingredients, malts. We had to go through Massachusetts, and you guys stepped up, and it's a really amazing beer week now. There's events and there's things, but ultimately the beer is just better. How many breweries are there now in New York City, Kelly or Jason? Are there close to, 30 breweries in New York City?
26.
There's 32 registered breweries, 26 of them actually producing liquid within the 5 boroughs.
And some are opening soon, right? Like Fifth Hammer.
There's a few in planning. Grim. There's a few contracting that are kind of trying to figure it out. Yeah. So,
and then back to Jason. So, this is a great story because years ago I knew you as a home brewer. At one point you were going to be part of a collective of brewers. At one point we even talked about renting a back room in my bar to have a brewery. So, for you, that passion lasted a long time. And why did you never give up?
Because I kind of couldn't. This was a bug that just won't be itched. Is that the right term? No,
wrong.
No, it's the wrong term.
It works. A bug
we
that
we understand what you're talking about.
I don't know. I like it. I think it is now a term.
We are not going to volunteer to itch your bug.
Need to itch that bug.
Yeah, it's something I can't. I still get excited every time to go in. So.
That's great, and I love your beers too.
Thanks, man.
And again, what was the new beer you just poured us?
That was Pork Chop Express.
I love it. And what was that beer? I asked you again, but I want to know.
It was a blonde.
A light American blonde, 4.5%, easy drinking.
Okay, and then Pat, a newer brewer. We knew from Barry Brewing. Now you're at Greenport Harbor. Tell us what gets you charged. You're a home brewer.
I mean, Light American Blondes.
I do like a good blonde ale. But I mean, I would say overall, I mean, it's just seeing what the industry has become, seeing what craft beer has become, and overall, just kind of having the same kind of approach like a chef. You know, you never really completely hone your craft, and you should never really ever run out of inspiration. You know.
That's great, man.
Can you do me a favor, though? Just like, he's like a mad scientist. So we have two breweries, you know, out on the North Fork. We have the original brewery. So we do a lot of beers out of there, like the Cuvée Somme we had earlier. It's called the OG Series, Original Greenport, and it's all Pat. It's this crazy guy who we just basically say, you know, when we expanded and we opened up this new facility, we had to pump out the hits so we could make sure that we were meeting distribution goals and make money, which apparently you have to do in this whole business of commodity.
What?
I know, shocking. But we knew we needed somebody to helm our collective vision of fun and future and what we can do. So, Patrick, I've never called you that before. You actually don't look much like a Patrick, but I'm going to call you that anyway. What are you working on right now? Like, what the heck's going on? What do you have in the barrels?
What we got right now in the barrels is a bunch of mixed fermentation saisons. We got a few stouts that are coming out of whiskey casks, as well as some kind of experimental stuff. We have a pilsner right now in freshly emptied Merlot barrels. So just kind of experimenting throughout every category of beer and trying to just use every kind of ingredient underneath the sun.
Welcome to the show, man. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. So everybody, let's go around. Everybody give a quick shout-out. Say your name again.
Hey, Mark Alder, Happy Hour Guy.
And no musical chorus application more.
Jason Saylor, Strong Rope Brewery.
Squiggs Robertson, Happy Hour Guys.
Kelly Taylor, Kelso Beer Company, and president of the New York City Brewers Guild.
The Dean.
Sean McCain, Greenport Harbor Brewing Company.
And Patrick Alford, Greenport Harbor Brewing Company.
Who was the guy, the master in like a Harry Potter series that ran Hogwarts?
Dumbledore.
This is Kelly Taylor.
Kelly Dumbledore.
I can go with that.
And he's going to win an award tomorrow night.
Except for he got killed somewhere along the line. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
You guys spoiling me. Thank you so much. My good buddies are back. We did a lot of great shows this year. We surpassed Happy Hour Guys in our number of episodes.
Oh, come on.
We're over 307.
Too soon. Gauntlet thrown. Challenge accepted.
Yep, accepted.
For me, this is a really special show because every year Beer Week is kind of the highlight of everything that we're doing. And seeing guys like Kelly and Jason, the way they've risen up and embraced New York grains and, you know, new brewers like Pat, this show means a lot to me. So I want to make a toast and thank you guys for coming on.
Cheers. Thanks
for having us. This is our week. So again, big shout out to our sponsor, Union Beer Distributors, who helped bring this podcast to you tonight. Big shout out to our producer, Justin. Nice. Justin Kennedy, intern Hillary Fazen, engineer David Tatasciore. And thanks for joining us on Heritage Radio Network. We'll catch you next time. All right.
Yeah.
Beer Sessions Radio.
Beer Sessions.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.